You know, Easter can sneak up on you. Can it? Like, do you know the egg hunt is next week? Yes. Like Saturday? Yep, I see the eggs. Thank you. So there's people brought some eggs. So Easter egg hunt, there's all these things. And I think a lot of times holidays sort of sneak up with, especially Easter, because it kind of moves around and some different things. And so we're going to take a break from the series we're currently doing, and we're going to jump into a little bit about Easter. So we're going to open up to Luke chapter 9, which is a couple things. If you're new online or new here, I occasionally go to the book of Luke for things, once or twice or all the time. And then it's a little early for Easter in Luke 9, if you will, right? Because, you know, you're thinking, if you don't know much about the Gospels, the Jesus dying for our sins part is kind of at the end. But if you want to back it up to the first part here, we'll read Luke chapter 9, starting verse 51. It'll be on the screen here. You can read in a Bible if you have, remember, Bibles with pages and things. So I still have to read that way personally, devotionally. Anyone? Like, I don't know, just digital doesn't seem quite the same to me. So anyway, although I study digitally, but I read devotionally in paper. That's a whole other story for a whole other sermon. But Luke chapter 9, starting verse 41, says, as the time drew near for him, Jesus, to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on the way to Jerusalem. When James and John heard this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, so they went on to another village. Now, I laugh every time I read this, because James and John, you know, and there's some biblical reason, kind of history, and why they might be thinking of this, but they kind of don't get Jesus in so many ways, right? They're his disciples. But they're like, hey, the Samaritans are resisting. They're against us. Should we call fire down from heaven? Are you here to, like, beat them up? You know, like shoot fire on people? I mean, like, you know, fire-breathing dragon? I don't know. But there's sort of this sense of, like, vengeance. Let's get them because they got me. Now, fortunately, none of us ever have that inclination, right, to kind of get people who maybe oppose you or things, so we'll just hold off on that. But, you know, but they don't get Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission is to come and to save. And he comes to seek and save the lost. And so, you know, there's this conflict, and they want to get rid of him. Now, and I've preached on that a few times. You can kind of go back in the archives and grab a hold of that. But they're missing a point of Jesus, you know, coming to include. He's coming to redeem. He said he would be rejected. He's going to the cross. You know, and so Jesus has this plan and purpose. So Jesus rebukes him, and it moves on. And there's lots of cool things we could grab from that story, if you will. You know, God's ways aren't always ours. True, I see some nodding, because there's times where our instinct is not what God is. God came to save, not destroy. You know, God came to make enemies friends. But here's, if you kind of, it's easy to miss the first part of that story. So I'll back up to verse 51. You know, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. You know, Jesus was on a mission. There was a reason he came. He knew where he was going, and he knew what he was called to do. And this verse alludes to something, and you know, I have a giant thick book that's a lot of fun to read, and it's kind of cool because all the allusions to the, it's a commentary for all the allusions to the Hebrew Bible that you might miss. It's on my desk right now. You can go check it out. It's really cool. It's great. Anyway, but there's all these, a lot of times in the New Testament, we miss them, because we kind of aren't a part of that culture. But this is an allusion to something. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7 says, because the sovereign, this is the servant song in Isaiah, and it's messianic prophecy about who Jesus is. And it says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know that I will not be put to shame. Now, the ESV, the English Standard Version, says this, but the Lord helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. Now, most of us don't think much of flints, maybe the flint stones, you know, but flint is like a hard substance. I mean, anyone here make primitive fire, like with flint and steel? Okay. Just a couple of us are into that. I used to have primitive skill days where I'd make my kids learn how to do flint and steel fires and stuff. Just kind of like that kind of stuff, and I grew up that way. Some of you are just really glad you're not my children right now. Some of you are kind of missing out. Like, that would be cool, Dad. Come on over. We'll light fires. But you could start, you know, flint is hard. It's like steel. It creates this spark. And so it's like setting your face to something you're going to do. And so Jesus, ultimately, he's not going to shrink back from his mission, despite the suffering, the opposition, the humility that will come from, the humiliation, confidence in God, unwavering determination to fulfill his plan. And so Jesus sets his face. He's like, I'm going to do it. He's got a target in mind. Now, some of you, like to shoot, you know, or something. I like to hunt. And I remember one time I was hunting, and this is a good problem to have, but my brother shot he was across the field from me, he shot, and it sent about, I think we lost count at like 25 to 28 deer enter the woods right where I was. Now, you know what the problem with that is? You don't know where to shoot. They were running in all different directions. I'm sorry if you're not a hunter and you think this is cruel. They were running in all different directions from my brother, and I'm just like, I don't know where to shoot. Because I had to pick one, if you will, because it was like, you got to have a target. And then you got to be firm on that target. And some of you know this, like, you play pool. Do anyone here play pool? I know some denominations think pool is sinful. It's funny, like, you know, there's that the Music Man and the whole thing. Have you ever watched that movie? It's an old movie, and the whole thing's built around like pool being sinful. And he sells them these instruments, and they're terrible. And you know, but the parents think they're wonderful. Anyway, you should see the movie. I remember watching it as a kid. I get more of it now. But you know, in pool, you know, my family. My dad was a fireman for most of his single life, and he was single. You know, which not. Late in those days, they thought he was going to be a bachelor, you know, because he was in his 20s and whatnot, married. Like, he was pushing 30. You know, a little different than today. But all he did was, like, play. In those days, the firehouse had a pool table, and so he played pool a lot. And then my brother had a pool table before he got married, so he played a lot of pool. Now, in my family, when you play pool, you can't just hit balls anywhere. And if one falls in, it's your turn because you got one. You have to call it in my family. Where's that ball going? And you can't just like whack a bunch and hope one falls in. Now, maybe you all play that way. And you're like, you hit something, you're like, yeah, that was what I was going for. But you have to have, now that may work out, but most of the time, it's the skill of being focused and doing a good job at what you're doing too, will get you there. And so there's this, you know, it's like driving. Driving, you need a destination. I mean, I guess any destination will do if you don't know where you're going. But you might just have fun driving. But, you know, there's a purpose. There's direction to go. And the point is, God has, you know, a target for your life. God has things that he's calling you. Just as he called Jesus to a certain thing at Easter, God is calling you to certain things. And you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, are we fighting the right battles? You know, are we trying to call fire from heaven on the Samaritans? You know, and right after this, we'll see Jesus sends out the 72 ultimately to prepare for his mission. Now, a little physics for you, because I like physics. Some of you are excited. Some of you are bored. Some of you are asleep already. But does anyone know the equation for momentum? This is a quiz, and all of you are getting it wrong. And we're going to, no, P equals MV. Now, you know, my original, before I became a pastor and theology and like and that stuff, I was actually, you know, I was heading to chemistry, and that was my goal, was to split atoms, things like that. So I love where chemistry and physics kind of come together. So I love, now, P equals MV. Now, I actually heard someone recently talk about this, and it ruined it for me because I thought they were smart until they said this. But kind of like, I used to watch that show, remember with Gil Grissom, what was that? Anyway, he made a physics error one time, his character, and he said something wrong, and I could never watch the show again. I tried, but it just, anyway. So P equals MV. So momentum is P. I know why P, and it's a long story. But mass times velocity. Now, here's the thing. Mass is you. So God has things for you to do. He has momentum for you, things for you to do, but it's times velocity. Now, velocity is different than speed. People confuse the two. Velocity, you know, speed is just going fast. Velocity has direction to it. God just doesn't want you running around doing random stuff. God has plans, purpose. He has a vector for you. He has something for you to do. He has things for you to do every day. Every day is an adventure serving God because you don't know what he's calling you to do. There's these things. And so God has this momentum. He has things for us to do. And more to the point here, is God had a target for Jesus. You know, and he has this plan. You know, why is he going? It's part of the plan. This is the way. We'll throw a little Mando for you. Now, if you were to back it up in that Isaiah passage, verse 6 says this. I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. See, and there's this plan. I think sometimes we feel like there's this disconnect between the what people call the Old Testament and what people call the New Testament, although someone recently remarked, aren't they both old by now? But you know, I usually call them the Hebrew Bible because it's written in Hebrew generally. There's a little bit of Aramaic in there too, but most of us don't know the difference between Aramaic and Hebrew, right? Come on. but you know, there's the Hebrew Bible, you know, God's plan, and the New Testament, the Greek New Testament, reveals who Jesus is, and it's not this disconnect between the two. God has this plan all along, and we see it when we read the book. And you know, here's the plan. This is, you know, spoiler alert. This is Easter, right? God's redemption for us. And that's why Jesus is coming. Jesus has this plan, and he's gonna fulfill it. And in Jerusalem, Jesus would face arrest, torture, agonizing death. You know, I don't think we're gonna have a Good Friday service. We usually did it with other churches, and it was always kind of fun because they're like, yeah, some of you are nodding, because it was like fun. You pack a couple churches in here, because you know, we're Team Jesus. You know, we may not worship together on Sunday, but it's kind of fun to get together with some other people and love on Jesus and you know, love together. You know, we can't do that. And so sometimes we probably won't celebrate a lot of that, of what Good Friday is. We won't talk about that because we won't have a Good Friday service this year. But ultimately, you know, Jesus sets all out and he's committed. His face is like flint. He's committed to this mission. No backing out, no stopping Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 56, says this. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Easter. Little spoiler alert. We had this victory over sin and death, and because he is risen. So that's just a preview. We're going to use that for Easter, you know, so kind of get you saying it now. Whenever, traditionally in church, whenever someone says, he is risen, you say, you weren't sure that time you should say it, right? Anyway, and here's verse 58. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. There's redemption, but there's purpose. We've been given work. We've been given a job. And, you know, when we're adopted as children, we have work to do. Now, my kids, if you grew up in my house, you got work to do. You know, there's dishes to do. There's always, because we heat with wood, which, you know, everyone's like, oh, okay, wood stove. Yeah, but you didn't have to do all the cutting and splitting and stacking in the summer. You know, it heats you when you cut it. It heats you when you split it. It heats you when you bring it in the house, and then eventually it heats you when you're sitting there laying by the fire. But you know, there's work to do. And if we're God's children, we've been given tasks and work to do. Jesus was on a mission. We're on a mission. And ultimately, you know, Jesus on this mission, sin is everywhere and needs to be fixed. Now, big fancy term, you can impress your friends. The Missio Dei. Anyone remember this term? I used it a while back. You're like, no, I don't. I missed Edo that day. no, Missio Dei. The idea is, there's this, and you don't have to learn that term, but the idea, it's this mission of God. And it's, you know, throughout the Bible, there's these themes. So in Genesis, sin enters the world, but, you know, then, you know, God continually points to the fact that there will be a Redeemer to come. And the whole story of the Hebrew Bible is God coming to redeem. You know, Abraham's blessed and he'll bless all nations. Moses redeems God's people from Israel. This big thing, God is always redeeming. And Jesus isn't just on a mission, he's on the mission to redeem us ultimately. And that's what we are going to celebrate on Easter, is the fact that Jesus comes so that we can have this new life. We're free from our sin, and we can live differently because of it. And now there's sin everywhere, but Jesus, we get to ride along on this thing, and we get to be a part of the team. Now, if you were to go back to Luke chapter 10, I'm gonna cut out a chunk here, but I'm gonna kind of, so if you're following along in a paper Bible, we're gonna miss a few verses in the middle. Not that they're not good verses. I would love to talk about them, you know me, but I gotta keep this sermon to 4 hours today. I'm kidding, not 4 hours. Some of you are tuning off right now. But here's it says that the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now, you know what's interesting about this? The 72, because when we think of the disciples, you know, there's like, you know, John, who is like Jesus' best friend, you know, kind of his buddy, his disciple, he was like, and then it was like the three, you know, Peter, James, and John, they're kind of tight. There's the 12 disciples, but there's these other layers of people who are hanging out who Jesus is commissioning. And so there's the 72. Now, who here can name all 72? Nobody, because the names aren't in there. That was a trick question. I think it's almost cool that we don't know who they are. You know why? Because it could be anybody. You put your name in there, although you weren't there historically. But I think the cool thing, God uses all these people, and God can use anybody, right? Because God can use me. it's often said, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. You know, and God will equip you, and we talked about some of that. We were doing deep water 101, 201, 301, 401. We're talking about that this week, the fact that God has given you gifts. He's designed you a certain way. There's cool things that God has called you to do. Someone once wrote, and I tightened it up a little bit. I'm going to skip some of these. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob lied, and some of these people you may not be familiar with if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, but if you're kind of familiar with the stories, there's some people in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament especially, and the New Testament, that weren't perfect people. They had some character flaws. The Bible never says they were perfect. Joseph was abused. Moses was a murderer and couldn't talk. I mean, that's not what you think of when you think of it, right? He's like, but that, it's true. Look at it. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was a murderer and adulterer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. And Lazarus was dead. But here's the thing. If God can use them, God can use you. And it doesn't matter. You know, you could be part of the 72 if you want for a second here. It says now there's harvest time. Now, the harvest time is fun time, right? Most of you know I have, if you know me personally, I have a Christmas tree farm, which sounds like a lot of fun, right? And I always see these things. People are like, oh, I just want to live on a Christmas tree farm. I'm like, you don't want to live on a Christmas tree. You want to live on a Christmas tree farm during the winter when you're harvesting and people are coming out drinking cocoa. You don't want to be on the farm when there's all the hard work. Most people like, hey, I'd love to work on the tree farm, and I invite them out to plant trees, and I invite them out to prune trees, and those tasks are horrible. Trust me, I've made my kids do it, and I still make them do it, because I don't want to do it anymore. That's why I have kids. Harvest time is the fun time. You're harvesting trees, people are coming, it's fun, you're drinking cocoa, some of you come out and tag your trees early, a lot of fun. We couldn't open this year because kind of a tornado destroyed our lives. But, you know, the harvest is fun. And the harvest is plentiful when it comes to God's kingdom because God is already moving. There's people who want to know Jesus. Our job is ultimately to make this invisible God visible to others. We're called to live this life where, you know, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're Jesus with skin on, some terms we use. We represent who he is to other people, and it's a privilege to do so. And we can have confidence, ultimately, that God goes before us. And there's people out there who are looking for something more. This life has been weird. Pandemic life is weird. Anyone else? Anyone ready for next year's pandemic? Two of you? That's weird. But most of us, it's been a tough year. And I think a lot of us are looking to for what's meaning. And when I talk to people, I know some people who are just terrified because they don't see the greater purpose in life. And people are primed to know, to want to know who Jesus is. And see, God puts you in places so that you can be Christ to people. You can be Jesus with skin on. You can be his hands and feet. And so there's some people in your workplace where you might be able to lead like Christ in your workplace like no one else can. You might be able to lead your family like Jesus. You know, now, we all may stumble at this, right? You know, I don't know about you. I'm not perfect. I know most of you think I am, but I got, why are you laughing so hard? But, you know, there's things, you know, but here's the thing, we all need to be looking for those mission opportunities in the world, that God's put us. Now, I'll just shameless plug for Saturday. You're looking for a mission world, you don't see things? Come decorate a trunk. Come bring some eggs. You know, and that's just an easy way to kind of show love for people. You know, invite people to the egg hop is what we're calling it, because we can't hide the eggs because then kids will get too close together. We tried putting them in plastic bubbles and keeping them away from each other. Did not work. No, we did not try that. It would be cool, though. Invite someone to church. Invite someone to church online. Invite them to watch online while you're in person. Invite them online to hang out with you, because, you know, we all have, like, quarantine bubbles. Like, there's people we're kind of, you know, not quarantined from. Like, anyone else have this? Like, certain people you kind of hang out like family because, you know, you didn't have family. Or, you know, family's not nearby. Or, you know, invite them over to watch with you. and follow up. It says here, workers are few, ask him to send more workers into his fields. See, and God is doing just that with us. God calls us into that, and God is always calling people to join his mission. Now, one of the cool things of my job is I got to have lunch with a missionary. Some of you have met, actually, I don't think any of you met Jeff directly. Some of you met his wife, Wendy, years ago. But I was sitting down with him, and it was kind of cool because, one, I got to have a Popeye's chicken sandwich. I'm sorry. You don't like the Popeye's sandwich? Man. I know the Chick-fil-A people be hating on me, but yeah, that Popeye's sandwich. Anyone here love? Nobody. What is? You haven't had it? That's a shame. Anyway, you're going to get me one right now. I want one. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, I like it. But I got, it's cool. I get to hang out with missionaries sometimes, and I was hanging out with this missionary, and he was kind of like, we're hearing like how things are over there and, you know, how they're dealing with the pandemic and everything. And I was talking to him, and he was telling me a story. The president of the country came to the National Pastors Conference, and you know, there was like 6,000 plus people in this building, which I know that's probably not very quarantine friendly. Some of you were like eyes like this big, but you know, the president was like, "Wow, this is a big church. You have a lot of people." And my friend Barnabas goes, "This is just the pastors." Because they were the pastors from around the area. And it was kind of cool because, the president's like, wow. And no idea. And see, God is calling people to the harvest. You know, and we've been fortunate. We get to be a part of things like that. And, you know, some of you remember we raised money for, like, motorcycles and different things. And we've done things to help the pastors get around, because the church is growing like crazy fast over there, because people are hungry, and we're helping send workers to the harvest. But just like there's a harvest there, there's a harvest here. And chapter 10, verse 3 says, "Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take money with you or a traveler's bag or an extra pair of sandals. Don't stop and greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, 'May God's peace be on this house.' And if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay." And so, you know, you gotta, like, go on this trip. Don't take money with you. Don't take a bag. I know it seems kind of crazy for us, but the point he's making is depend on him. You know, depend that he, you know, trust him that he's going to take care of you. And so, you know, you go on this trip. It might be scary, but rely on God. You know, don't stop to greet anyone. That was always kind of a funny statement for me. Some of you know, though, I am slightly a people person. I'm hearing laughter over there. I make I'll be talking to people at Walmart. I'll leave. My kids are like, do you know them? I'm like, nope. They were just behind me in line. They're now my best friend. We're friends on Facebook now. Yeah, Colin's that way too. You know, hey, those of you, like, pandemic, it's been rough. Check on your extrovert friends. We're not okay. It's been hard for some of us. We like to talk to people. We need to talk to people. I sit here in my office all by myself. You know, I stay at home so I can talk to people. You know, anyway, sometimes I just talk to myself. And the point is, don't get distracted. Like, I just got distracted from the sermon, right? You know, just it's not that people aren't important, don't greet people, but, you know, stay focused. And he's saying, you know, hey, don't look around for better accommodations. That's why he's saying stay where you are, you know, because we can tend to do that. Just focus on what you're doing. And skip ahead, verse 17. It says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. And so they have this joy that, hey, things were successful, right? Like the mission went well. Hey, Jesus, this was the cool stuff you had us do, and this was working. And that's cool because Jesus sees those victories. But even greater than these victories is the privilege that we get to serve on God's team. We get to do the things God has called us to do. And it's a privilege to have an opportunity to be a part of the mission and the things that God is doing. It's hard. But you know, it's what we're called to do. You know, there's a story of, you ever hear of this guy named St. Patrick? I wore my green shirt today because it was St. Patrick's Day the other day, right? Or is it coming? I missed it, right? Like, yeah, I wore green the other day. You know, my wife always reminds me to wear green. I don't think people pinch people anymore, do they? Remember that was like a thing when people would pinch you, like if you didn't wear green? And I don't care about wearing green on St. Patrick's Day, even though I am Irish. But I just didn't like being pinched, so I always tried to wear green. And then, like, if they pinched you and you did have green and they didn't see it, you got to pinch them back. Like, was this just my school? Okay. Okay. But now, when you think of St. Patrick, now, a lot of us, true to our culture, we think, you know, green beer and drinking. Not what St. Patrick was about. Or you might think, you know, no snakes in Ireland, which that's not what St. Patrick was about. It's not even about Shamrock Shakes, which I'm disappointed because every McDonald's I went to during this period, like they, you know, I saw recently on Facebook, every McDonald's should be required to have their flag at half mast if the ice cream machine is down. There's nothing more disappointing than pulling in for a Shamrock Shake, and they're like, it's advertised, but no McDonald's ever go to has it working. And I feel for them, they're tired, I get it, but I'm like, come on, man, get me a Shamrock Shake, you know what I'm saying? I didn't get one this year, I'm so disappointed, and now they're like, we're out. I'm like, did you ever have one? Anyway, but here's the true story of St. Patrick is, you know, he gets kidnapped by pirates. You know, we always think pirates sound cool, like Johnny Depp or something. It's not. It's a bad thing. And then he gets sold into slavery, in Ireland. He wasn't Irish. And so he's enslaved. He escapes. But then, you know, God sends him back as a missionary to Ireland. That's a cool story. I mean, it's cool, not if I had to live it, but it's kind of cool to read that story. He has this mission. He has this thing he's called to. And you know, it's a privilege we get to. When Jesus had a mission, and that mission gives us our mission. You know, we talk about three words here sometimes. It was funny because somebody was teaching for me this week, and they were like, true to Jeff form, I had all the answer key made out except for three words, and I laughed because they're like, what are these three? I'm like, gather, grow, engage, right? Because I say those words occasionally. The idea is, you know, we're made to gather. You know, there's something important about community, and that's been hard during the pandemic, figuring out what that looks like and how we can connect. You know, we're made to grow. You know, our faith should strengthen, our knowledge of God should grow. We should increase that. And so we're very, you know, that's an important thing. But then the third one there, that third word is engage. We're given a mission. We're supposed to engage the world around us. And the world should look different because we're in it. You know, we should live differently because of Jesus. That whole series, we just kind of taken a break from 1st, 2nd Peter. But then we're called to, you know, shape the world around us. God's given you gifts. He's made you unique. He's placed you where you are. You may feel significant. I mean, you live in Delaware. Unless you're watching online, I don't know where you're living. But we live in Delaware. We're like the second smallest state. Until Joe Biden got elected, some people weren't even sure where Delaware was. And the people still making fun of Delaware. Anyway, I'm a Delawarean. I can tell you all about Delaware. But but here's the thing. God placed you in Delaware, in your neighborhood, in your vocation, in your particular family. God will lead you to opportunities to be in the harvest field. Now, I don't know anyone here on Twitter. I don't tweet. I'm a terrible follow. Like, I read Twitter sometimes because some of my favorite theologians and things are on there, and I get free books and stuff by following them. You see like discounts and stuff, and I like to kind of keep an eye on where culture's going. So, but I go on and off of Twitter. So if you're a big Twitter person, you know, it doesn't sound like anyone here is a Twitter person. Y'all on Facebook, I know, I see you there. But this week I found Mr. T on Twitter. And I do not know why I have not been following Mr. T, because, well, in fact, I pity the fool don't follow Mr. T on Twitter. I found Mr. T, and I saw this tweet. He says, choose ye this day which God you're going to serve. There is a choice you have to make in everything you do, but keep in mind that the end choice you make makes you. I like that last part. The choice you make makes you. If you're following Christ, it will shape who you are. And when you're shaped in God's image, it changes how you live. You act and you interact differently. Not that we don't all have failings in that, but we should be we're becoming more like Christ. His Holy Spirit changes and makes it like Christ. And then God gives us a mission just like he had a mission. We're on this mission together. You know, and the cost is great, but the reward's worth it. I won't read the verse right now, but in 1 Corinthians 9, if you read the Message translation, which ironically of all the translations, I think, pulls out the meaning of the Greek the best. You know, he talks about being on the mission. You know, this is Paul, he's talking about being on the mission. He says, I didn't just want to talk about it, I wanted to be in on it. And the cool thing is we get to be in on this mission with God. And then our lives become missional, if you will. And now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you know, join the team. Because it's as simple as, admitting that we're a sinner, you know, believing that Jesus is God's son, that, you know, that we when we put our faith and trust in him, we can have this new life. And then it's, you know, we committing to follow him and live his way. Now, if that's new to you, you know, message us, talk to a friend. We'd love to talk to you about that. But then once we become believers, we have to set our faces like flint. You know, we to the way we're called to live, but and also to the task that God's calling us to do. You know, Jesus saw his life as a mission. We need to see our lives as mission. You know, it's kind of cool. I get to hang out with missionaries. I'm hanging out with a bunch of them today too, though. We're all sent. We're all missionaries. You know, are we doing a good job of it? And that's another story. You know, God's always up to something. He's always inviting us along. You know, and I heard one guy called this missional imagination. You know, I love that term. And I'll leave you with this. It's look for what God is calling you to do each day. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.